Tuesday, October 6th, 2009, I called the Town Hunter Planning Board meeting to order. Review and approval of the minutes of September 1st, 2nd, and 1st and 10th.
I would like to make a note.
Yes, sir.
Under privilege of the floor, under Mr. Silver's comments.
Yes.
He, it's 60% of the town residents did want zoning, not did not.
Did, yes.
Oh, sure.
That was his comment, correct. All right, let the minutes reflect that correction.
And I did make a change on Petrolo. It should be crossed out on everyone's copy. And there's some grammatical spelling errors. But those two are the only ones.
Paul, are any other board members' comments?
Just a couple of very minor edits, Mark.
Sure.
Under new business in the regular meeting.
Yes.
Just under, and bearing in mind that I was recused, so these are just minor edits, but...
You're not recused now, though.
Cool. Yeah. Under number three, Zipline Adventure Tours, that first sentence should end with, "and Brad Morse presenting," would be a period after that sentence. Otherwise, it...
Gotcha.
Gotcha, sir.
Otherwise, you're presenting as well?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then on the second page, in the third line,
yep.
It says, "and the decks and platforms are graded and have virtually no runoff." That's graded. That's a G-R-A-T-E-D.
Gotcha.
They're grates.
Let the minutes reflect those changes. Any other board members' comments? Additions? Deletions we made. Do you need more time, Ernie?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
I'll give the board another couple minutes just to go through it. I see some board members still reading the minutes. All right, board, is that sufficient time? Motion for approval with the corrections mentioned. I make that motion second.
I'll second.
Seconded by Judy. Discussion? All in favor? Aye. Objections, abstentions, be there none. Motion carried. Next order of business is the public hearing for the Petrolo Minor Subdivision. I open that public hearing now to members of the public. Remind board members we'll be discussing it on the agenda later on, so reserve your comments for that. But any members of the public that wish to make any comments on the application for the Petrolo Minor Subdivision should speak now. Yes, okay. You want to identify yourself, please?
Elizabeth McGeary.
Elizabeth McGeary, yes.
I just actually have a few questions. I own parcels next to it.
Yes.
And actually, I have no problem with the subdivision at all because I was originally thinking of maybe purchasing the property myself and doing the same thing.
I remember that.
But I had access by my own road to those parcels. So I was just wondering where the road was going to go and whether or not the subdivision and the homes on it were going to be kept as private as possible from each of the houses that are already there.
I could show you the map if you believe.
You do, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You would be this one.
This is me.
Joseph.
From this building. We have the right of way coming down.
Yeah, that's
kind of near you.
Joe. This is a public hearing, so if you would be so kind as to hold that comments and we'll let her come up. When you present that, we'll call her up.
Okay.
When you present that to the board, Joe.
Sure.
If you don't mind. You're going to stay?
Yeah. Yes. Come up now.
This is a public hearing, just for public comment. It's not for point, counterpoint.
Okay.
Public input, your questions have been noted, and I'll give Mr. Vannucci Associates a chance to answer when the items on the agenda as he so graciously offered. Okay? So that'll come later. Anybody else wish to speak to that item on the public hearing? If not, I will close the Petrolo Hub minor subdivision and we'll move on to privilege of the floor. Does anybody wish to speak to any item on the agenda now? Please limit your comments to about 3 minutes. Yes.
Hi, I'm Margaret. I am from Haynes Falls.
Yes.
And this is just something that I know that there was well pumping tests and whatever for the Cortina Estates. I just wanted to be sure that, you know, when I looked at the map, it has Twilight Park and it has Sunset Road. But that whole grouping of dots in there is Sunset Park. And I just want to make sure that whatever testing you're doing, to make sure that we're not negatively impacted by whatever, you know, water or, you know, either pumping water or land water or whatever. I just want to make sure that we're included in that.
I believe the pumping tests have been
I just don't know if Sunset Park was, I see Twilight Park and I hear Twilight Park when I come, I just
we can
don't
get
know.
You that information, but they've had the department, they've done their pumping tests for this subdivision and submitted it, also the well applications to the Department of Health, but if you'd like that information, we can get that to you.
Okay, thank you.
Sarah, would you follow up on that?
Yes.
For her? Thank you. And she doesn't have to foil it, it's a request, and we'll just give it to her. Anybody else wish to invoke privilege of the floor at this time? For any item on the agenda or any planning issue? Yes.
Yes, I'd like to speak, but not about anything on the agenda.
What's the subject?
The Leg Road subdivision.
What is it?
Okay. I live on Lake Road, and I'm here as a private citizen tonight. And in 2008, in January 2008, Rory France came to the planning board and made an application for a subdivision. And that was the end of it. He put the application in, did the secret form, and he never came back. In the past month, he started work on the subdivision, and he's put in three roads, one of which is directly across the street from my house. So my main issue tonight is that he doesn't have an approval for the subdivision.
Right.
He didn't actually, I don't think, have a full sketch plan that showed all the lots on his 45 acres, but he's already commenced work. And it's my understanding that during the subdivision review process, we get to comment on what's happening in the subdivision before the work is done.
Correct.
Okay. So I just wanted the planning board to note that, and I was wondering if there was anything that could be done because he's already started work there,
yes,
with that review.
Okay. If you're if your proposition is correct that he is working on his subdivision, that's a violation of subdivision law, and he should be notified by the code enforcement officer who is in charge of enforcement of subdivision and site plan laws in the town of Hunter. It's not the planning board job. So we will notify the code enforcement officer. But just let me advise you, if the applicant says that he's putting a logging road in, or a road for camping, or a road for his own house on that entire parcel, that does not constitute subdivision
that.
Review. So, Mary Ellen, with the town, before we go and cite him with a violation, we have to explore if he is, in fact, commencing subdivision work.
Well,
and will we ask the code enforcement officer
to
verify that?
Right. Well, I mean, I would prefer that he didn't, you know, receive any kind of a violation. I would prefer that he came to the planning board, you know, with his plan and went through the proper process.
If, in fact, he's doing a subdivision.
That's right. And there are a couple of things to support the fact that he most likely is doing a subdivision. One is that he made an application to the planning board. And the other one is that he currently has two roads in. And they're probably within 600 or 700 feet of each other. And I have pictures, so I don't know if anybody wants to look at them. One of them is at the property line, and that road has a culvert off of Lake Road. The other road is directly across the street from my house, and that road is much wider than the one up on top. He has another road that he's put in.
Okay, Marion, you don't have to make your case to the planning board because we're not in charge of enforcement. Code enforcement is.
Well, I'm just trying to let you know that most likely it is a subdivision because he wouldn't have all these roads.
We do nothing until he either comes in front of us or to the code enforcement officer sends him to us and gives him a cease and desist order. That's the procedure. So all the eloquent pleading will be...
I'm not pleading, I'm stating deaf ears
at the moment, and I'm not being quick with you, but I'm just telling you what the procedure is.
Yeah, I understand the procedure.
But since you brought it to a public format, brought it to a public board, we will relay those concerns to the code enforcement and ask him to investigate and make a determination. And Sarah, make sure we follow up to Mary Ellen, to Keith, that we would like to have a... how he resolved this issue. So, you'd like to keep, like the code enforcement officer to tell us how he resolves this issue. Okay? You want to like to have it in writing. Either is or isn't. Black or white. Okay? Very transparent. Thank you. Next order of business. Mr. Vannucci, this... you're second on the agenda, and this could be a while. Did you want to leave and come back, or do you want to stay?
I'll just stay.
Okay. All right, the next order of business is the Cortina Mountain Estates major subdivision and site plan review. It's both, and seeker review. Unfortunately, I got a phone call 45 minutes before the meeting that our representative from Dow Engineering, Mary Beth Biaconti, had a personal problem of which she had to attend to immediately and could not make this meeting, and we're going to proceed forth without her. But we do have the applicant here with his attorney, Jason Shaw. So, just, Mr. Shaw sent, there's been... by board, there's been a lot of prolific correspondence in the past 2 days. I personally, as your chairman, do not expect you to be able to go through it all and to be not speak knowledgeably from it. However, make an effort to maybe scan the documents we will be dealing with tonight so we can keep moving forward on this application. Basically, what we have in this major subdivision review is that the applicant is looking to have a determination by this board that there's a completed application so we can make a secret determination of a negative or positive declaration. The applicant obviously, through its engineers, its attorneys, and a lot of other different sources, has supplied a tremendous amount of information to supplement his environmental assessment form and the efforts that he can avoid a positive declaration, and it's usually done to what they call an expanded EAF. This board's job and first order of business before we can move forward and before the applicant can get any other permits approved by any other agency has got to have a State Environmental Quality Review Act determination by this board. To do so, first we've got to have a completed application, and then we have to make a seeker determination as to a negative or positive declaration. And the applicant now is working forth to mitigate those circumstances that would result in a positive declaration both by this board. All right. So I just want to give you up front, that's where this whole issue is at. There's been a lot of other sub-issues, but I'm going to let their attorney, Jason Shaw, speak here for a bit, because there's been... as the board knows, we hired at the applicant's expense another engineer, Dow Engineer, to review their engineering's work in the secret review process, HDRs, and also the firm, the Natural Systems International, that is doing their wastewater treatment plant to review that work also. We've had a bevy of correspondence back and forth on this. So that's my summary of the situation, and I'm going to let Mr. Shaw speak. We are at a little disadvantage in the sense that I really expected Mary Beth to be here tonight to comment on her comments, but however, she did put them all in writing. And if you have a chance, I would like it if you would kind of look through them as this meeting proceeds. Mr. Shaw.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to sit for a little while just because it's easier for me to refer to documents that I'd like to point the attention to the board members to. And I guess just to start off, I think all of you have my memorandum directed to the board dated October 5 of 2009. And the reason I did that was because, not that I wanted to put anybody to sleep trying to read it, but this is really a comprehensive listing in a very objective format. I didn't include any editorial comment or make any references that were not in the communications between the parties. Concerning communications that my office, HDR, the engineers, and NSI, the wastewater engineers, had primarily with Mary Beth. And this goes back to July of 2009. And the point of this is to give this board a kind of a perspective on the efforts that have been made to buy Cortina Mountain to provide Mary Beth and this board with basically all the documentation that it could possibly need to review the environmental significance of this project. So in other words, what we're doing here is that, unlike the situation where an EAF is prepared, and then, based on that review, a board will determine, okay, well, now we think there's a maybe significant impact. You're going to do a DEIS, and then have the applicant go back and do a DEIS, and have all the attachments, all the consultants' reports, and everything that entails. We have basically front-loaded this process. In other words, we've provided you, not just, you know, certainly within the last several months, but even before that, before I became involved, with all the documentation that we believe you would need, even if you had a DEIS. You have it all. In other words, there's nothing more. And if you look at the emails here, you'll see that back in August, late August of 2006. Mary Beth had written a memorandum because she had believed at that time that a lot of the information about specifically the wastewater treatment or the Speedies application we had not produced that. And that's a big part of this project. Basically, that's what will happen with the waste that comes from the 92 units that comprise the subdivision. Where is it going to go? And she didn't think that we had processed that information, but there was a misunderstanding, because actually all that information was in fact with the board in the board's office here. There was just a glitch in communication, but I think once she received that information in late August of 2009, before this board's last September meeting, her comment was to NSI, which is the company that did that, was that NSI, quote, had done a lot of work, and she apologized for not knowing that the wastewater information had been on file with the planning board since March. Those things happen, but the fact is it was provided. And then since that time, There have been some additional requests for information, actually, since the last meeting. And I'll go through those quickly and tell you, for each request, what has happened with that request. The first request was that the request for a letter to the emergency services providers in the town and a letter to the school district in the town, both all addressing the potential impacts on those entities. Well, those letters were sent out on September 11th of 2009. I believe the board has a copy of those. We sent a letter out to the school district. We sent a letter out to the rescue squad and a letter out to the fire company. And we got, as far as I understand it, the board got a response from one entity, which was the school district, which said, fine, no problem. If you're gonna have additional students, it's not going to have any impact on the educational resources of the Hunter School District in town. The other entities, I don't believe, have responded at all. And those letters, as you can see, were sent out quite a while ago. The other thing that was Mary Beth wanted was she wanted a depiction of the visual impacts of this project on the historic designated historic sites in the area. I think one of them was the village, and the other one was the Twilight Park. And she wanted for the board a safety turning analysis for the subdivision road, which is the private road, Cortina Mountain Road, that leads into Clum Hill Road. And then the third thing that she requested was an overlay map of the stormwater protection plan, overlaying that over the jurisdictional bodies of water, i.e. the ephemeral streams and intermittent streams on the property. And there was some back and forth about these documents, but this is where we ended up. And if you can see in my memorandum, the entry dated September 1 of 2009, and there are actually several entries, but the last entry on that date, I respond to her and list four outstanding requests that she had made just to confirm that we had those requests properly listed. And apparently we did, because we never heard anything differently from Delaware Engineering. On September 28th of 2009, we provided, and the board should have a copy of these, the illustration of the visual impact of the project on the historic areas, which shows a insignificant impact on in terms of visual impact. Two, we depicted the line of sight and turning assessment for Clum Hill Road, which said that there was nothing, no safety concerns, that the line of sight from turning in or onto Cortina Mountain Road was appropriate. And three, we provided the board with the overlay map that was requested by Delaware Engineering, showing the SWIP, the areas affected by the SWIP and the jurisdictional bodies of water. That was our last submission until very, very recently to the board. And we had thought at that time that we had completed all of the requests that Delaware Engineering had made in terms of any outstanding information that they believed was necessary for this board to get through the part two of the environmental assessment form. On October 2nd of 2009, actually at the end of the business day, Ms. Mary Beth had emailed to me an internal memorandum from her office at Delaware Engineering that was prepared by, not by her, but another engineer. Actually, I don't think she's an engineer, by an engineer in her office. And this engineer had various points regarding the wastewater collection and treatment system for Cortina Mountain. Now, just to go backwards a little, this wastewater treatment plan has been in your file for months now. The NSI, the entity that prepared this plan, is a nationally recognized company, engineering company for wastewater treatment. They are state of the art. And if you want to, and I suggest to anybody who may believe otherwise, just look at their website, look at them up on the internet. This company is doing cutting edge wastewater treatment plant design, environmentally friendly, green, everything that everybody these days wants. Anyway, so there was a memorandum, an internal memorandum from Mary Beth to me. An email which included this internal memorandum, which had these points raising questions about the adequacy of the wastewater treatment plant. Of course, that was Friday at 4:50 p.m. when that came into my office, and I was on a plane to Washington, D.C., so I didn't get it until I came into the office on Monday. However, this information, because again, we really want to get everything that this board needs to continue with this process. We contacted NSI, and NSI actually just October 5th, Monday, and you have this letter in your, you should have this letter in your packet, prepared a letter dated October 5th, 2009, it's addressed actually to Steve Seymour and Karen Wright of HDR. And I hope that your copy, I don't know if it does, but is it color?
It's not color, but it shows a gray area.
Okay, good. Thank you, Sarah. Because the letter of NSI addresses point by point the concerns that were raised in the Delaware Engineering Memorandum by the colleague of Mary Beth. And I think if you read that, you'll see very quickly that these NSI people know what they're talking about. And in fact, several of the points that were raised in the Delaware Engineering Memorandum were simply a result of improper reading of the NSI documentation and nothing more. It was simply that they did not read the technical data correctly, and that was pointed out very directly in the NSI letter dated October 5 of 2009. And in fact, it's a well-written letter, and I think it's, I'm not going to go through all the points now, but it's certainly one, at least for your purposes, it says this, that whatever minor changes may be made to the wastewater treatment system, and don't forget, you know, we have to get a permit for this from the DEP. So this board isn't going to grant that permit. That's a different agency. But I am confident, and I think this letter makes it very clear, that whatever minor changes the DEC or DEP may require, because they always require something, that the significance, and this is the key for the environmental review, the significance of those changes will be so relatively minor that they will not in any way, shape, or form change the potential environmental impact, the minimum environmental impact that this wastewater treatment system will have on the environment. In other words, there is nothing in the record here that will show or could show that whatever may happen in the future, there's going to be a huge redesign or a major redesign of the wastewater treatment plant here. This wastewater treatment plant is based on solid engineering, solid technology, one of the top engineering companies in the country. And I think these comments from HDR, and specifically the author of the comments, is Michael Ognan, who's the principal engineer, thoroughly address the concerns that were raised by the colleague of Ms. Bianconi. So that was taken care of. The other issue that Ms. Bianconi raised in this in her note of late February of last week. She made a comment there that took me aback a little bit, because she said, and you know, this is where professionals can disagree. She said that the information that would be required for the environmental review would be basically the same information that would be required for permit approval by the various, I don't know if she was talking about all the agencies, but she didn't limit it to the other agencies who are involved, because not only do we need your approval for site plan subdivision, we need the town board's approval or consent to the formation of a transportation corporation for the water and the sewer. We need DEC approval. We need DEP approval. We need Army Corps of Engineer approval. They all have their own standards, and we intend to meet all those standards. But my understanding of the State Environmental Quality Review Act is that we don't need to, in other words, we don't need to meet all the standards that they may ultimately require of us, because right now we don't know what they are, because, you know, we haven't finished the permitting process, before our application is considered to be complete for purposes of your review for SECR. In other words, SECR review, what information that we have to provide you for SECR review is different from the information that we may ultimately have to provide the DEC or the DEP or the Army Corps for their ultimate decisions on whether or not to issue a permit. Everyone understand that? It's a little technical. And unfortunately, Mary Beth isn't here. I don't know if that's exactly what she meant, but I wanted to address that issue to the board, because I wanted to make sure that we...
In which memo did you make that comment?
This would be in her memo of, Paul, it's Friday, October 2nd, 2009, 4:50 p.m.
Yep.
Okay. And it says here, second paragraph, last sentence, since a negative declaration is sought, the board seeks to ensure that the review is based on the standards of issuance for permits, which is the most reasonable yet protective standard for review. So that's where I read that, and I thought, well, I don't think that's my opinion. That's not legally correct. And in fact, what I did find for the board, and I have actually shown a copy of the case to your chairman, is a case which is in my memorandum. It actually starts on page 5 of the memorandum, standard for review for the board. That's the heading. And I cited specifically to a case which I'd be happy to make copies of for anybody. It's quite a lengthy case. It's called Application of Croton Watershed Clean Water Coalition versus Planning Board of the Town of Southeast. And this is a case where we have a planning board, just like yours, which approved a subdivision in the town of Southeast, which is, I believe, on the other side of the river. And a citizens group challenged that approval in court. One of the arguments that the citizens group made in that challenge, which, by the way, was unsuccessful, was that because the applicant had not provided sufficient information to the DEP, same agency, because it is in the watershed, for the SWIP, that it was improper for the planning board there to have issued what they ultimately issued was a conditional negative declaration. Because their argument was, well, if the DEP didn't have enough information if they said, we don't have enough information for your stormwater protection plan, then how can you at board have had enough information to complete your environmental review and say, yeah, we've taken a hard look and there's no significant impact on the environment? And the court rejected that argument. I just want to read you, because this language is important. It said, contrary to petitioners' assertions, and the petitioners in this case were the people who were challenging me, the court has found no authority to suggest that a lead agency, just like the town of Hunter, must resolve all permitting issues before a determination of significance may be rendered. In other words, they're saying you don't have to resolve whether or not there's enough information for a permit before you determine whether there's a significant environmental impact. Here, the applicant correctly points out that it was the DEP that had the ultimate responsibility for determining if the proposed stormwater pollution prevention plan complied with the requirements of the law. In other words, that applied to that. And then they went on to further say that the DEP's review of a submitted Speedy's permit, or a SWIP, I'm sorry, is not the same review required in connection with the determination of environmental significance. This was the court. As far as I know, this is the only decision, and I look far and wide, that addresses this issue directly. So in regard to this point, what I'm saying is that you cannot require us, or you should not require us, to meet all the requirements of a permit, because first of all, you probably don't know what they are. You know, the only one who's going to know what they are is the DEP and the DEC, before you decide you're going to review the environmental significance of our project. Finally, there was, I guess, another memorandum to this board from Ms. Bianconi, dated October 6th of 2009, which is today, which was sent out addressing a number of comments. And, you know, I have to say, just as an aside, I know she's very busy up there and has a lot going on, but it's very difficult for us as an applicant to respond, as we really want to do, in a timely way, to requests when they come the day of the meeting. I mean, we try as best we can, but it's almost impossible, especially when you get a request, you know, basically the afternoon that the meeting is supposed to happen. And there are a number of comments in this memorandum. I'm not going to read it over. All I can say is the first comment, which was about the SWIP that we had submitted, the stormwater prevention plan that we had submitted, which is in this binder that I have here, that's about a couple inches thick, that I had dealt with her, and so had Steve from HDR, had dealt Steve Seymour, and we asked her, because we got a memo on that back in the middle of September, and she said, fine, send us the map of the jurisdictional waterways, the ephemeral streams and intermittent streams, with your SWIP overlay on that, which is what we did and what I said we had sent to the board. And we thought that issue was resolved, that resolved her concerns. But she raises, seems like the same concerns again in this memo. And so what I did do is I had Steve Seymour respond to that. As you can see, it was through an email, because that's the best we could do today at 4:15. And he makes a very good point that this SWIP has been prepared under the essentially with the advice and consent of the New York City DEP. As he says, the applicant has worked with the New York City DEP to address their stormwater concerns, well and septic field placement and erosion control measures. The applicant has walked the site with the New York City DEP. And obviously, while the New York City DEP may have comments about this SWIP down the line when the permitting process comes through, the bottom line is that there are not going to be any changes that are made to obtain their approval for the SWIP that are going to significantly alter the nature of the SWIP. I mean, and that is the key. In other words, We may have to do things for the Speedy's permit. We may have to do things for the SWIP. But the fact is, for your environmental review, what you see is what you get. And we're so far along with the approval process, and we've gotten so much feedback already that there's not going to be any big surprises here that's going to make this board go, oh, wait a second. Now that you've made this change, now all of a sudden we decide that there's a significant environmental impact when before we decided that there wasn't a significant environmental impact. That isn't going to happen, and that's what is the governing standard here for your review. Is there likely to be any changes here when this thing goes forward? The answer is no. But even in a worst case scenario, if you granted us a negative declaration, as we would hope, if there was in the wildest dreams of the DEP a major change that made this a significant impact in some respect where there wasn't one, you have an absolute right to reopen your environmental review, and an absolute right to change if this could happen. Maybe it has at some point somewhere. Change your negative declaration or conditional neg or whatever we would ask you to give us to a positive declaration. You could do that. In other words, you're not foreclosed from doing that if something changes later. But we're very confident that we're not going to see that kind of a change. So anyway, I hope that brings you up to speed. I'm sorry for talking so long.
All right. I think your responses were necessary to that proliferation of communication that's taking place. So I'm going to open this up to the board to question the applicant on this and also their legal representative, Mr. Jason Shaw. I want to remind the board, however, that at this meeting, or subsequent meeting, if we have it on SEAKER, I like to avoid as many site plan and subdivision questions as possible, because we're going to have to go back to that and pull that all back together. We made a lot of conditions there and stuff, but we're going to have to just review that, not redo it, but just review that. And the first order of business and what the applicant's looking for is notification that we haven't completed application, which means we don't need any more information, and that what we have is sufficient to act on. And two, at a point in time here, tonight, tomorrow night, next night, whatever night we determine, that we may take a vote on the State Environmental Quality Review Act. So let's focus on SEAKER, and those are the environmental issues. All right, so I'm going to open this up to the board for questions. And I realize some questions will drift over a little bit. They won't stay right on SEAKER, and that's okay. So if you have questions, we can start. And I'm going to just start procedurally. Just first of all, we have a couple of recusals on this. Sarah Schneider and Jody. That's so duly noted. And without getting into point and counterpoint on this, Jason, Mary Beth's, first of all, you don't have Mary Beth's emails in front of you. Jason's.
I do.
You have them? All her emails?
I think so.
From the beginning? Show me them.
How far back do you want to go?
No,
3 years?
No, I'm not going back 3 years. I'm going back to all the ones that Mr. Shaw referenced.
Yes, I have them all in front of me.
You do? Okay. Well, the rest of us don't.
Everybody's got what I have.
Show me the emails. Let's see.
You got all of these. I got the one from October 6th, October 5th.
Okay, well, the one I'm making reference to is that the one I'm making reference to is the level of review.
I have that one.
And you have that wordage there, she stated?
Yeah, memo for tonight's meeting.
You want to read what she states about level of review?
yeah, I will.
Is that the one I referred to, the October 5th?
Yeah.
October 2nd, actually. That's the one that came October 2nd,
yeah,
Friday.
I just want to touch base.
Yeah, okay. Let me read
what
that?
Just say, Paul. Just what she says about that level review.
Specifically about that comment, it says, in speaking with the planning board chairman, he has made it clear that the board wishes to have time to discuss all submissions and that a determination of significance will not be made at the October meeting given the ongoing review. Since a negative declaration is sought, the board seeks to ensure that the review is based on the standards of issuance for permits,
okay,
which is the most reasonable yet protective standard for review. That's the issue that Mr. Shaw so
standards of review
eloquently talked about
by other agencies. That's what she was referring to. But basically, Mary Beth spoke to me about this, is that this board should in this environmental review consider the standards of review of the other agencies for environmental review. That they should consider not to use them as to make a determination, not to use them as the deciding factor, but to consider them in the decision. That's what she said to me, mm-hmm, that we should evaluate that. That's all. So I don't know if in your correspondence you felt she went further than that or she implied more than that, but she said that we should consider the standards of review of other agencies, and I think you disagree with that, that we shouldn't even consider the standards.
I wasn't sure, Mr. Chairman, what she was saying. What I thought from what I read it, what I believe she was saying is that basically we would have to produce everything that this other agency would require of us in order to decide to grant us or deny us a permit.
All right, I didn't take it that way.
That's what I read.
All right, I didn't take it that way.
I don't know what she means then.
Right, I don't know how, okay. That's,
I don't know what she means then. If she doesn't mean that, I don't know what she means.
She's not here to clarify.
I know.
But, however, you and I both know that the other agencies are not going to give any approvals till they get a secret determination by this board.
What?
Doesn't mean they can't review the application. They can review the application. We can send it to them, and they can review it. But
they have it, supposedly.
But, yes, that's true. But how many comments have we gotten on that, Sarah, from them, other agencies on the...
They've stopped till we make a secret determination. They've stopped their review.
Okay. So that puts us dead in the water in terms of any help from them. So the issue is, what she was stating this, is that help us with taking a hard look under SEAKER, is that our standard shouldn't be a low standard. It's got to meet the standard of a hard look. In other words, we got to look at all the environmental issues. Notwithstanding what you said, that we don't have to have a completed application or an accepted application from the other agencies. We don't need that to make our determinations. We don't need that. We don't need DEP, DEC, DO. We don't need them to say it's accepted, it's approved, for us to make a secret
determination. Yeah, according to this case, you can have the DEP say to us or to you, that SWIP application that was submitted by Cortina Mountain is not inadequate.
It's
not adequate.
Junk, and we can still
but you can still go ahead.
Right.
And do it legally and not be challenged.
Well, that clarifies that. But I think her point was that we should look at some of those issues that they look at and consider them. That's all. So let's let that sit there. I think we're on the same page with that.
Good.
One of the issues, and it's a little bit, it's on the same point, that was brought up, is that the applicant has got to have a transportation corporation at some point in time. It's required by DEP, I believe.
That's required DC. Under the, there's a, it's a...
DEC?
Transportation corporation law is actually a separate law unto itself.
Right.
And that's the way the New York state law says if you have a private sewer system or water delivery system, you got to have a transportation corporation. Right.
And that's been expanded a little bit. It doesn't mean necessarily a treatment plant. Now it's just the lateral lines, as we found out. It can be the lateral lines and the subdivision, as you're going to find out on the next subdivision review. No treatment plant, but transportation corporation for the lateral lines. The only issue with that for the town is that if the town ends up taking it over, is that we have a system that's going to stand the test of time, because the town's going to own it. If the corporation were to go, I believe it's bankrupt, you have to go?
Well, the transportation corporation should be operated by the applicant.
Applicant, yes.
But, there is a provision in the transportation corporation law, and I have it here, where if the applicant can no longer operate it, the town...
What's the litmus test for that? Bankruptcy? That's right.
I don't know if it's actual bankruptcy, but I do have a law here. But one of the things that the town can do to prevent Well, first of all, the best thing the town can do is make sure that the system that gets put
it's
in
built right.
is built right. Right, and which I think if you read, granted, all this happened really fast, so you don't, everyone hasn't had a chance to read this stuff, but if that letter from NSI is right. read, it's clear.
If we accept that the yeah. wastewater treatment plan is proposed by them, that it's adequate, meets the engineering standards, that's our assurances.
But it's not even, I don't even think this board has to do that. This is actually the town board. We have to go to the town board and get the town board to accept it, not this board.
Well, yeah.
Under the transportation
board. There's another issue here. The town board can't really turn it down. Once we approve the process, once we approve the treatment plan, the town board, Mr. Shaw, the town board has to accept the transportation. They don't have an option of denying you that transportation corporation.
Well, I'm assuming that once we've gone through this process here, that and the DEP and the DEC, all of whom are going to be reviewing this plant, that it's going to be built adequately. But what the town board can do, which you can't do, is that the town board has the right to require us to post security.
Yeah, they can build that. You're correct. So the only point I'm making is, environmentally, it's the board's obligation. And going by, as Paul said before, we're not competent to read the engineering reports, but that what we read from these reports is that we have a competent system, a good system, a wastewater treatment plant that works. And I think there's a flip side of that, is that this board may have an obligation to make sure that in the event the town does own it, that we have a system that's going to stand the test of time. I don't mean by bonds and that stuff. I mean just work. That's all.
Yeah. Right.
But let me just get a clarification, too. In a worst-case situation, for whatever reason, it became incumbent upon the town to take over the system. Right. One, there would be security in place behind it, whether it's bonds or whatever.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, my presumption is that the costs that the town would incur would be borne by the sewer district that uses that transportation corporation. So it doesn't necessarily place a burden on the town. It places the burden on whatever homeowners are there.
Ratepayers.
Okay.
Oh, in that particular sewer district.
That's a good point. However, let me remind the board that if an event, I hope it does not happen, Mr. Baker and Associates, but that they lose this project and the town ends up owning it, you put us in something we're not in right now, the sewer business, because we still have to manage it. We have to oversee it. Even if we have a sewer district, the billing factors, the guy that's there 24/7, we're in the sewer district. So I think it's incumbent is that this board looks like, well, isn't the village of Tannersville a village of Hunter in the sewer business?
Yeah.
Because yeah. you've had several failed transportation corporations, haven't you?
No, we have not.
None?
No.
Now, what has failed?
Not to my knowledge.
But you own sewer plants down there, right?
When the city of New York funded the village's wastewater treatment collection system and sewer plant,
right.
they also funded the upgrades of other existing sewer plants yeah. and collection systems. And they funded and subsequently funded the decommissioning of those existing plants and transportation corps and their absorbance into the village system.
I thought a couple failed down there. I read in the papers about that in the past years. Couples that none failed. None were in violation.
Right. I'm not aware of anything.
A lot of these ones, just a little historical information here. My experience with these failed transportation corporations is a lot of these were formed, you know, decades ago. Yeah. They didn't have a lot of oversight when they built the system. The systems were inadequate. The cost of repairs were crushing, and then the owners, for one reason or another, decided to walk away from the system. But, you know, things like that have happened in the past, but that doesn't mean if you've had a bad result in the past with a particular form of entity, that you're going to have a bad result in the future. And all we can do here is to make sure that the plant is designed and constructed, and the construction will be supervised certainly by all the agencies involved in an appropriate way.
I agree with that, and it's not deal breakers, but I think it's incumbent upon this board just to do their best to make sure we have a plant that's designed to function in Catskill Mountaintop cold weather. Which brings me to the question of this. These people here, Natural Systems International, have they had experience in cold weather wastewater treatment plants?
Yes, quite a bit, actually.
They're from Louisiana and these other places.
Well, they're in Colorado, and
Colorado.
I got to read you a part of, it's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek letter here, because I want to show you his response to one of the comments on that particular issue. Here's the one of the comments from Delaware, and this is in the October 5, 2009 letter, was a concern about this system in cold weather. And the response here on page 2 of the NSI's letter is depth of burial cover is clean out. This is a good comment. Our work in cold climates, e.g. Edmonton, Canada, Wind River Range, Wyoming, state of Nebraska, and Colorado Rockies, where temperatures dropped to 50 below zero Fahrenheit without snow cover, presented a particular challenge. We are fortunate that we have a snow cover for this project. NSI will make an effort to ensure that details and specifications address the issue for depth below frost for founding covers and cleanouts. So the answer is yes. And I lived in Montana for 2 years. And I'll tell you, 50 below zero, that hurts when you go outside. And we don't get cold like that here. And if they've designed systems for climates like that, I think the Catskills, even though we have cold northeastern weather, they'll do just fine.
Yeah, I didn't know they designed Montana, but I saw the one up in Ten Stones at Sherbury, Vermont, which is pretty cold weather.
Yeah, I know what you're looking at. You're looking at their...
I just see most of this chart here, if that's accurate, but most of them are southern latitudes or... They do have that one in Vermont, which was given certainly a cold weather sample, and the one in New Jersey, perhaps. I just want to touch. Jason. These are, questions of inquiry.
Absolutely.
The setback lines was a disagreement between Delaware Engineering and your engineering firm as to what the setback for impervious surfaces was from watercourses. Now,
I can't resolve that. I am not technically able to resolve that.
Okay, but that question gets resolved. And the purpose of that question, I understand that this falls back into perhaps the SWEP. I believe it was on the SWEP and not or the wastewater. I'm not sure. It was one or the other. Either the wastewater or the SWEP. But one of them were within impervious surfaces. It was a 100-foot setback, and he was claiming 100. She was saying 500. Then there was a 200-foot. But Jason, just that question should be the reason why that question should be resolved, Jason.
Yeah,
is that while I agree with you, SECR can be redone, and that perhaps wouldn't re-trigger another SECR review in and of itself. But it certainly would a subdivision of site plan if we had to change layouts. So we don't want to kick this can down the road, do it right this time. If that's an issue in design, to get it resolved now. And it's a simple issue. It's an engineering issue.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
So you will make a note.
And I will. And here it is, NSI's place to pea gravel cover. There's a comment here. We believe the 200-foot rule applies 200 feet from dwellings shown on the plans. Is that?
Yeah,
maybe
but,
that's
but
what
there's
you're
a disagreement
to.
There.
Yeah, and that's...
Just
but you hit the nail on the head when you said that... Even if we resolve that disagreement against us, then it's not going to, the nature of this project isn't going to change significantly. It's not going to make a difference in the environmental impact at all.
It says WWTP is located very close, less than 50 feet from a residential property. DEC 1988 requires 500-foot separation of open sand filters, which equates closer to other processes, et cetera, et cetera. So that issue should be resolved by your engineers.
I'm going to make a note of that right now.
That's
I remember
actually,
that
that's from your Natural Systems International guy.
Right.
And he was responding to, I believe, Mary Beth's comment.
What page is that?
That's page 3. Pardon? You have a question? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know if it, with the sewer hookup, when they do the sewer hookup on other homes, are they responsible for the whole hookup or only 2 by foot of the home, and then it becomes the owner's responsibility, like they do with all the sewer hookups here? They hooked up to a certain point to the house, and from then on, it was the owner's responsibility if anything happened. Right on that?
Well, that was for the public system. This is...
Well, Jason, did you hear that question?
I did, but I don't know if the nature of the system is a little bit different from your...
In other words, when someone buys the house, do they get direct hookup, or do they have to make the final hookup? Dave, can you answer that?
Yeah, we'll hook them up.
You're going to hook them up.
Do the general contractor as well.
Yeah, well, I think what you're talking about is the... if you have, like, a main and a lateral, that sometimes the conventional sewer system, the homeowner is required to connect to the main from...
But when they did all through Hunter Townsville,
right,
and Haynes Falls, that was how it went.
Right.
It went to a certain, like, 5 feet, 10 feet, and then from at that point, it was the owner's responsibility if there was any problem.
No, because we'd be building the homes to hook up to the sewage pump.
So any complications from the sewer, then it would be yours.
Yeah. Responsibility is totally on the tenants.
There's a couple other issues in that letter. He's from your engineer that a filter press is included in the plans. I believe Delaware said this very small plant more cost-effective or available for sludge. And he said, in view of filter press, we'll be doing an aerated holding tank. That hasn't changed, you know, I don't think, our review process at all, personally. Any board members, you have questions, you jump right in. Don't let me steal the show here.
Oh, go ahead.
Mark, maybe it'd be helpful if we just eliminate some of the questions that have been out there in some of these and concentrate on the ones that are left.
Also, I want to go over Mr. Romney's letter to Paul, because he gets, I don't know if he wrote this or an engineer wrote this, but there's some issues there that we should look at also. So that's, and they relate to the project. So where do you want to start with Mary Beth?
Well, I'm going to start just with her comments from today.
Okay. What date are we on?
October 6th.
Letter, Paul?
Six. Number six.
Let me pull stuff together.
Have you got that one? The memo from Mary Beth today?
Yes, I do.
And I would just suggest that maybe we start at the back and come and go forward.
Start at the back?
Yeah. Start on page 3. Because I think we can get...
All right. Traffic, site, distance, elevation.
I mean, if... we were emailed the site distance information for the intersection of the proposed road and the existing Plum Hill Road. It seemed pretty clear that there were no site distance issues. It was over 400 feet in each direction. It's an unposted speed limit, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I don't believe it's on post the speed limit in town of Hunter. I believe the speed limit in town of Hunter is 30 miles an hour, and that's the standard they should have used to apply.
The 30 miles an hour?
They don't have to go in.
Unless otherwise posted.
30 miles an hour in the town of
Hunter?
Coming
into the town is 30 miles an
hour. The village.
That's the village. We're talking about the town. Town of Hunter.
You mean Clum Hill Road. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I drove down there. I did not see a speed limit sign, but... Then if there's no speed limit sign, then you have to assume it's the state speed limit, 55 miles an hour.
That's exactly the point I make.
Okay, but the point is they didn't apply it to these standards. And that speed limit for that line of sight, that's the standard they should have used to apply for it out over there. So I think we can correct that just with that with that data study. They didn't use that as a standard, Paul, 55 miles an hour. That's line of sight. When you come out of that road, you've got to assume cars go by there 55 miles an hour. So that's what should have been used for the line of sight calculation. So it's a simple redo, but I think that should be corrected.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to correct? I don't understand what you're going to correct.
55 miles per hour?
You have to assume someone's going down the road at 55?
If that's what he's saying.
I don't think anybody can make that turn at 55.
I think on state roads, I agree with you in the abstract that without a posted limit, but on state roads, on town roads without limits, it's, you know, you have to travel with a reasonably safe speed.
So, right out here.
I mean, you can, in other words, you can get a ticket for traveling on a town. Speaking as a former town judge, you can get a ticket on a town road for traveling at an unreasonable speed, even though you're not going 55 miles an hour.
That's true. And conditions.
Right.
But the point with subdivision applications and lines of sight, they usually have line of sight is set upon the speed of the road that you're entering. And that's usually determined by the speed limit of that road. Coming up and down Clum Hill, you can do 55. So if someone breaks down, they could be breaking down. I don't know. That's a traffic issue, but I do know it's. I know you go by the speed limit permitted. There's no speed limit on that road, so you have to assume it's 55.
So
and maybe dangerous as hell to take that curve at 55 miles an hour, but with a Maserati, you could do it. Well, the thing is, the line of sights were done by no calculation to the data of comparison of the values of the State Highway Association that they normally do that with. They normally compare that to that data. They give lines of sights.
Well, that's normally done on state roads.
Right.
It's not normally done on village and town roads.
It's normally done on subdivisions. You do line of sight on subdivision all the time.
Line of sight and posted speed limits are two different issues.
Line of sight and posted speed limits are directly related when it comes to subdivision applications.
Well, I guess
so. You're saying,
in the history of this planning board, I've never heard of a line of sight that exceeded 450 feet in each direction.
And history of
that was not considered adequate.
This history of this planning board, we've never had 40 lot subdivision proposals, 90 lot subdivision proposals. But Paul, you mean to tell me that you personally feel that that's an acceptable standard, what they set in this for that road?
Well, yes.
I disagree.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Can I just ask one question? Because I own a home in Sunset Park, and I understand that this is for this particular development that you have now, but I know that there's bordering parcels on that land. Large tracts of land that I believe border this particular. I'd like to know if there are any type of discussions with any of the other owners of those properties to obtain those properties to add to this present.
Not to the knowledge of this board.
Well, I'm asking the attorney for one of these.
Well, we have to. I don't allow point counterpoint between members of the audience. So I'm going to ask Mr. Shaw not to answer that question because we have to evaluate the application that's in front of this board. The appropriate question is, does this board have an application to that effect? And the answer is no. You want to ask somebody in the audience, what's your future plans?
Well, no, their present activity, that's what I'd like to know. If they're presently involved in any discussions to purchase any of those adjoining acres, those parcels, I know that there are tracts above 20 acres that border this property. If they're presently in any types of those discussions.
Well, let me say this. If they're doing that right now, and then I'm planning to incorporate that in this, under State Environmental Quality Review Act, that's called segmentation. It's illegal. I mean, it's under secret law. That's called segmentation.
Well, no, I'm an attorney. I'm not accusing them of doing any misrepresentation.
I'm stating that if they got large tracts to buying around, I'm planning to incorporate that into this.
No, okay. He just told me no.
Okay. So, Paul, all right, so it's back to a board question.
Mark, let me just state this. Where I'm coming from is simply that if there was no stop sign here, I think it would be a critical issue. But there clearly, it's a dead-end intersection at the entrance of the court. What's the road going to be called? Cortina?
Cortina Mountain Road?
The name of that road is where it intersects Clum Hill Road. There will be a stop sign there. I believe there's one there now.
Mm-hmm. There
correct?
Is.
Correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean,
you've got stop signs on state roads all over the state.
They're not in front of this board tonight.
450 foot of all up and down State Route 23A. There's entrances and exits from stop signs, private residences. We don't have anything approaching 450 foot of site distance.
I accept that part, but I think it's a matter of safety. But any other members of the board before we don't move on this or move on to the next one? Any other comments?
The point I'm making is I don't think it's a significant environmental impact. That's the point I'm making.
How about a safety impact?
I don't think it's a significant safety impact.
377 feet in one direction, 477 in the other.
What's that?
Those are the two lines of sights.
Lines of sights, yeah.
Which are essentially the same, if not better, than what existed when Katina Mountain was doing a significant amount of business as a ski area.
And I would not say we have to assume that someone's going to be doing 55 on that road. I mean,
that's certainly reasonable. Any other comments?
It would be unreasonable and prudent to do that, and maybe get a ticket.
Okay, that's reasonable. In view of that being said, I make a motion that the applicant re-review the line of sights with the posted speed, with the speed limit that's on that road, and come back with a sight line determination. Do I have a second?
One second.
We have a second. Discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any other aye votes? No aye votes. The motion fails. Okay. The present line of sights will carry, the ones stated by the applicant. Okay. Next is the, you said back on the back page, on page two?
Yeah, I was just trying to eliminate the, the less complicated ones first.
Listen, I'm being real quiet. I don't want to create controversy, guys.
Paul, should we jump up? The line of sight assessment's been done and voted down. We're going to stick with the current lines of sights as pointed out by board member Rialli, and we're going to stick with them. And the wastewater system comments. Should we go to that now?
Yep.
That's actually kind of repetitive of what we've already discussed. It's the same issue. Same response.
All right. Again, the other comment was that we're obligated to own and operate it, and that's why I just felt a level of review that if we do inherit it, that we have something that's going to run for a while. And regardless of the financial considerations the town board may put on it, but there's no motion to be made on that, and it's just a level of my concern. That's it.
Mark, and I share those concerns. Mary Beth's comments on October 7th, specific to those issues, I think in the wastewater system were issues like, which I think were addressed pretty adequately by NSI's comments, i.e. Pipe burial no less than 5 feet, because of the frost issues up here.
Well, can we, response to that, can we go down that letter? Paul, what date was that letter?
October 5th. A letter from NSI?
Yes.
Yeah, she responded.
Yes, and they, actually, let's go right to the letter of October 5th, because they reiterate Mary Beth's A through E concerns about this issue, about the stormwater issues, and they've addressed each one, and let's... You got that one in front of
you? Yeah, I got it from you now.
So let's. I'm just suggesting that we go through those issues, those comments that Mary Beth raised relative to the stormwater issues and the responses from NSI. See if we see they're at.
That's good. So let's start right at the top with the
pipe burial. Right?
Pipe burial, right. Yes. Well, actually, she stated that was a gray water system. He said it's not a gray water system, right? It's not a gray water system. It's a wastewater with primary treatment tanks located each home. So
correct.
Okay. Now pipe burial, no less than 5 feet. They had DEP on site, didn't they? And Joe said that they could do less than five if they insulated it. I believe
that's
embodied in that letter.
That's what they're in A on the top of page two. What they're suggesting is that the drawings would show an excavated depth of 4 feet since they're going into rock. And as we know, rock is typically very shallow up here
with
insulation.
They're saying that all of the trenches will be in rock, and the use of insulation will save the extra cost of rock excavation, obviously. So they're, you know, they're stating that they would their designs would be, would incorporate the notion that pipe buried less than 5 feet would be.
Anybody have an issue with that? I think that's acceptable. Okay, next is the gasseted PVC.
And they've got a discussion about the use of chlorides in the, you know, in PVC and.
He says the HDPE is benign recyclable. Mm-hmm. The PVC is not. And then he says that the town is not opposed to the use of toxic materials. PVC is considered toxic?
Well, it's polyvinyl chloride, and it's kind of become a...
it can degrade
yeah.
into the environment.
Anybody have an issue with that? Mm-hmm. All right. I find it acceptable. Paul?
It seems like a reasonable response.
All right, let's go to C. All covers, cleanouts, and other structures either buried or founded below the frost line 5 feet. All covers, cleanouts, and other structures either buried or founded below the frost line. Surface covers need to have pipe protected from freezing. That's what Delaware said. The bold prints was Delaware saying.
And they're basically saying that the general notes will stipulate that all pipe is insulated as requested.
Yeah, he said it's a good comment.
Yeah.
And that they will ensure that all details. Okay, so the applicant agrees with it, with our engineer's finding on that. All right, so we can move on to D. Yep. Manholes at mainline pipe junctions. Apparently, she was stating there should be manholes at pipeline junctions, and he gives an argument why there shouldn't be.
Yes, yeah. Manholes are typically when you have a large diameter pipe system.
Right,
where
this
you've
is
got,
small?
Where you've got your solids and your effluent flowing through a common pipe, obviously.
Yeah.
The system is based on
No solids.
It's based on septic tanks, individual septic tanks at the home, and small diameter transmission lines. That's the reasoning and the response they're making under number D.
Okay. All right. Anybody have an issue with that about putting manholes in? That was in the design they recommended, but they accept.
Who designates where the manhole goes?
There's not going to be manholes.
You essentially can't have a manhole. What's the main?
She's saying,
yeah.
He's saying, we're not putting manholes in.
System like this?
Because we're using 4-inch pipe. There's no solids. Mm-hmm. And they're proposing a system with no manholes.
You're talking more
Carol.
Of a cleanout than it is a manhole. Yeah. That's what you have to. Yeah. Terminology is not really.
But he's given the reasons why they shouldn't have manholes.
Well, not why they shouldn't, it's why they don't.
You can have manholes.
You can have manholes in
the sewer system. Delaware recommended it.
No, right. But this is their response to
why
that
they don't want to use it.
Why they're not incorporating it? Correct.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Next.
I mean, I just want to make sure everybody's satisfied. They've given a reasoned and measured response to each of the points.
What sold me on it was the 4-inch pipe,
yeah,
and no solids. That's to me, it was a kind of a no-brainer at that point. That's I'm not an engineer.
Having operated a number of sewer systems, I can also say that the biggest problem with manholes is they're a constant source of groundwater infiltration right through the tops of the manholes.
All right, does anybody have a problem with that? All right, let's move on to 5. Conventional sewer systems, which include manholes.
Whoops. We got to do continuous slope on all gravity pipes. Is the next point.
That was Delaware's comment?
Yeah.
They want continuous slope on all gravity pipes. And NSI said it's not a requirement for small diameter systems.
I
pitch on the pipe no matter what.
Whether it has one degree or three degree pitch, it has a continuous slope. I mean,
same as a continuous slope.
Well, if there's a head behind it, you can, you know, you can push liquid uphill. If there's a head behind it.
This system doesn't have continuous slopes. This system doesn't have continuous slopes. Ernie? It's not, you said 1 degree. In other words, the place is, it's flat.
Correct.
There's no continuous slope. Delaware recommended continuous slope to ensure, he said, gravity feed. And he's saying here, is designed not to require manholes or continuous slope, that this system is designed that way.
And beyond everything we're talking about tonight, the DEP has to fully approve this system,
right,
go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and either give them the permitting process to put the system in or not.
Okay, but it's against plan and secret law to beg off on another agency's review for your approval. So we're going to have to continue with what we got. We don't have Delaware here. We're going to have to move on. I'll put a question mark on it,
and yeah,
we'll go to the next one, because I'm not sure on that one.
By the way, just answer to your question, Ernie. I know what you're saying, Mark. Paragraph 2, the NSI's comment that this system is, you know, this has already been reviewed by the DEP. So it's not like it's a novelty.
I personally would feel comfortable if I followed up with a phone call on that question, but I'm not going to hold the board up on this issue, but I'm not comfortable with that. With a flat run on any septic system, the water's going to sit there until the water pushes it through. That's what's going to happen on a flat pipe. If there's a run of 8 foot, it's going to sit. Every common sense,
right,
an engineer know that.
Don't use flat as a standard, because you could literally have pipes running uphill.
You have pressure behind it.
This isn't a pressure system.
Pressure from the elevation difference.
Pressure from the elevation differential, yes.
Like a water level.
Kind of like a zip line?
there's a significant, we've all seen the top ones, there's a significant elevation difference between the upper lots and the lower.
All right, I see what you're saying.
There are, obviously, the intent here in the design is there will be places where it's flat, and I would presume maybe even run uphill in some places in some locations, but there'll always be a head above it. That keeps it moving.
A lot less soil disturbance.
Right.
Because you don't have to excavate. So better for the environment.
I think we should move on. I think Paul's is reasonable. I'd like to make one phone call on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ownership of the septic tank should be addressed.
Well, that's...
No septic tank.
There's individual little tanks.
There's septic tanks.
But that's all part of your system.
There's no septic fields. Individual septic fields.
They're collection boxes.
Collection boxes.
No, they're septic tanks.
Yeah, but what is the
difference?
Yeah, there's a difference, right? Because
they're septic tanks. They're designed to precipitate out the sludge.
The sludge. Mm-hmm. The sludge stays in the tank.
Okay. Just in the way you typically had, you know, around here before we had community systems,
mm-hmm.
You had a septic tank and you had, you know,
so these required to be
your effluent went out from there into a leach field. So
that's where your biodegradable action takes place, right? Your biodegradable action takes place in that tank.
Yes.
And are they a certain gallon, like 1,000, 1,500? I mean, is it a certain tank size?
I'm sure that'll be based on the size of the individual residence. Some of them were multi-unit residences and single-family homes. So the size of those tanks, I presume, is going to be based on the size of the attached residence.
I think the more important question, who owns the tank?
Yeah, who puts that?
Well, I mean, they're saying here they agree that the ownership of the tank should be addressed,
right.
So I guess we need to ask the question, who would own the
tank? That'll be an issue when we form our transportation corporation.
It'll either be owned by the transportation corp or the homeowner, correct?
Or the homeowner.
Right.
But
right.
It, one way or the
if
other.
If it's owned by the homeowner, then it's going to be governed, the maintenance is going to be governed by the homeowners association rules.
Town of Hunter will have to own 90 septic tanks.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's do three. I want to get to Mr. Romney, and I want to get to Mr. Romney's letter tonight too. Potential for septic wastewater. Is everybody sufficient? Am I rushing over that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing
yes.
Good.
All right. The potential for septic wastewater to corrode and shorten the life of pumps should be addressed, and performance history provided for long-term operation of proposed pumps. The purpose of the pump is what, Paul? Why do we need pumps? Just a gravity flow system. Why do we need pumps? Why do you need pumps, Mr. Shaw?
Because there's probably going to be some movement with pumps. I don't know exactly.
You have to pump some of it uphill?
I'd have to look that up.
FPBC or Archibald?
I'd have to look that up.
I don't know either, but going back to the drawings, but there may be either lift pump stations, as there are, you know, in the Village of Hunter's new system has multiple lift stations where you've got gravity flow to pump pits, then it's lifted from there and pushed back into mains that are hot, at higher elevation.
There may be places in the system where a pump is necessary to get it from point A to point B.
But they answer the important question. They can make the pumps. They're making the pumps out of stainless steel. That was Roy Delaware's question. How long is it going to last as opposed to cast iron? All right, so that really answers the question.
Yes.
Okay, your next question. WWTP is located very close, 50 foot from residential property. EEC 1988 requires 500 foot separation for open sand filters, which equates close to another process. I personally like to see that question answered.
Yeah, that property is owned by the applicant.
Yeah, but that property is not in the subdivision review, and the law states from a residential property, it doesn't say if he owns it or not. It's located from Dave's house, right?
You could bulldoze the house tomorrow. I mean,
Jason,
you know what I'm saying. In other words, it's not like it's somebody else's residence.
I understand that, but the law says a residential property. It's silent about if the owner owns both pieces of property.
We'll iron this out.
Okay, thank you.
I already have a couple question marks.
You got a couple question marks on here.
We're moving right along.
We're getting to the tougher ones now. Experience of open sand filters, other plants in Green County have not always been positive, especially in the winter. The elevation and extreme weather at the site will make freezing of the beds an even greater problem here. And since occupancy of the homes would be greatest on weekends and in winter, that is likely to lead to operational problems. A buried as opposed to open sand filter with the capacity for recirculation should be evaluated as an alternative. Mm-hmm. Well, that's NCI's response to it, and that's, they still don't agree. They agree to disagree, I guess.
No, he's saying that the sand filter should be
considered as buried,
which is right. So
that's what they're asking.
Which is what Delaware is recommending.
Yeah.
With the capacity for recirculation should be evaluated as an alternative.
They're agreeing. I mean, they agree.
Yeah. Open sand filters aren't buried. Hmm? Open sand filters aren't buried. The lines are in the sand.
It says here there is a gravel cover over the
distribution
sand filters regarded as a buried sand filter.
Yeah, but the gravel cover is over distribution lines. All right.
Okay. I don't know. I can't answer that. Then that might be something.
I think the sand beds are there and the felt lines are underneath, but he's saying it's buried because everything's underneath the sand.
Right, as opposed to a system where you've got distribution lines that sit on top of the sand filter.
Distribution boxes.
There's one of those open sand filters right at the throughway circle in Kingston.
At the old Howard Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the
ugliest thing you ever want to look at.
It's horrendous looking. And I doubt very much it would work up here.
All
right.
I thought it was an
unfettered
septic system.
That's what it looks like. You know what I mean, right?
That's actually a replaced septic system.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we got four more here. I'd like to ask a question on that at some point. Anyhow, calculations are provided which are intended to prove the system will remove organic matter, maintain hydraulic capacity under all conditions. I'm not familiar with any wetland systems intended for BOD nitrogen removal. Please provide examples of other systems installed in similar conditions. Cold weather, high annual rainfall, occupancy provide. Right, he makes the argument here that this system is sufficient. They're not going to provide other type systems. So they're making the argument that this system is good enough, why should they have to do another system presentation that could work up there? That's it. That's their stance on that. So we don't have to resolve that. That's the stance. We can move on to the next question. That's because they just disagree. Design life is estimated to be from 10 years sand filter, 30 wetlands. Given the expected life, a construction reserve fund should be established for maintenance and replacement of all components.
Agreed.
They got total agreement. The plan, no discussion, I assume. The plan proposes to use disposable bag filters before the microfiltration units. Backwashable multi-filters have been typically used for this purpose as, and watershed rules require sand filtration, disinfection, phosphorus removal, microfiltration of a department-approved equivalent technology of microfiltration. He says watershed rules are met here. That it does do sand filtration, disinfection, phosphorus removal, microfiltration. And he says backwashables are very expensive given the high redundancy level. All right, they agree in the first section. The only place they disagree is the backwashable filters, and he gives his arguments for it. So why don't we just let that sit?
Okay.
Since none of us are qualified to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've given a reasoned response. To you're right. You're
not qualified.
Okay, a filter press is included in the plans. This is a very small plant, and more cost-effective means are available for sludge disposal on site. He says they'll substitute an aerated holding tank. So that's what he's proposing in lieu of that. All right, why don't we just let that sit for the moment? Ms. Paul, you had a comment on that last one? I had a question about three things I can mention to Mr. Shaw before it leaves. But before we do that, before we go on, let's give these guys a run for Mr. Romney's letter quickly here. Not quickly, but let's do Mr. Romney's letter too while we're on a roll. That's going to address the issues presented here pretty much tonight, Mr. Shaw. And we do Mr. Romney's letter. You got that?
I do have that.
Okay.
Very briefly, I think his comments about the SWIP, I think, are dated because the SWIP has been modified since these comments were made. In other words, I don't know what
been
he's looking at.
Changed since September 29th?
That's what the comments here from Steve Seymour, who took a look at this, and I have those if you bear with me for a second. He says the issue, few thoughts, he refers to Mr. Rosmey's letter. The issue with the intermittent stream course has been resolved. This was a layering issue with the maps. The stream courses appear. He was saying that there was a stream course that was not on the current maps with the SWIP. That stream course now does appear on the maps.
So it's in the new SWIP?
It is in the new SWIP. And this was a comment that I think Mr. Rosmey made a little while ago, too. And then Mr. Seymour's further comments were, further revisions will be made to the SWIP upon completion of the CEQA process. We understand that the municipality will not grant final subdivision approval until after all permits, including the SWIP approval by New York City DEP, have been obtained. So in some respects, these comments are a little bit premature, but the fact is that I guess the major one is the stream course that Mr. Rosmey was concerned about, in fact, does appear on the map.
All right, and he makes some other, go back to the next page, he discusses in depth the impacts upon the stream on his land. So the important thing here is that these water courses near Mr. Romney's property are addressed in the SWIP.
They're all shown on the map now.
And addressed.
Yes. And certainly Mr. Rosmey, if in the future, is going to have more than enough time to raise any other issues during the public hearing process for this board, to any of the other boards. You know, it's not.
You have a chance to take the new SWEP, Mr. Ramsey and Rosmi, and related to your comments here, and to see if your information is not dated and it's up to date, and to see if the water courses near your property are addressed in the SWEP. You do that?
I would like to do that, yes.
Okay, and respond to this board, and we'll take a look at your letter again. Okay.
I do have a question, if I can.
Go ahead.
My most outstanding concern is that traditional water flows over and above which I'm now experiencing, which are negligible, that additional flows generated by the development do not find their way onto the ephemeral
That
stream.
Should be addressed in the SWEP, so
right.
Let's do that. And with a fine-tooth comb, you check that, bring it to our attention, okay? And you know where your property is? You know the water courses? You can have communication with DEP and bring your findings back to us. We want to avoid any more water flow on your property.
Right.
Okay? And this board is cognizant of that, and we'll look at that, okay? But we need more information. As the attorney pointed out, there's been a new SWEP. So, you know, this conversation isn't going to take us anywhere until we get the new SWEP and see that they addressed your questions.
That's fine. That's acceptable.
Okay, let's do that. You had a couple other things here I just want to quickly touch on. That well test we had, we included your property in that, didn't we? Yes.
Yes.
You have a 16.2-foot decrease, and you're looking for some assurances that...
Out of what level,
though? Huh?
You have to say, what's the water level in the well? If it's 100 feet, you got a 16-foot decrease.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that, Mr. Shaw. 100 foot, 16 is not that significant, but the question what he's looking at is not a denigration of the well over the long haul. And I think we can address that when we start wrapping this up a little bit, that if the applicant's going to provide any protection, we can discuss that with the applicant and his attorney. If this board wants to look, and it's the board discussion, not me, wants to look for any protection of the neighbor's wells when this project goes in. I mean, could be done, Mr. Shaw.
Well, if you look at the well test results, which I just looked at tonight, I mean, you can see that even in a worst-case scenario, with all these wells, with all three wells pumping at once, I mean, if you've got 100 feet and you lose 16, under those circumstances,
well,
that's insignificant.
And this is just me speaking, not this board, as you can see here tonight.
Okay.
But what if it goes dry next 3 years from now when this project goes in?
I can't answer that because that's too hypothetical.
Okay. All right. I'm just throwing it out.
No, I mean, that's
not going to be point counterpoint, you know, Mr. Rosmi, but one last comment, quickly.
My first and only comment on this point. And if the water column below the 16 feet drop is 100 feet, and if Mr. Shaw, and I don't want to personalize this.
Yes.
Okay, if it's implied that the 16 feet drop is insignificant, and if that is truly the case, then what's the big deal about saying that there is some assurance given? I mean, it works both ways.
Okay, all right, thank you. But also, I think his well report will be in that study yet.
It's all in there.
Okay, so I'm going to read that well study. I'm going to look. If you got a 200-foot well and you talk 16 feet, your case just weakened. But anyhow, we'll move forward on this. We had another issue. We're going to check that for you, Mr. Ramsey. I'm not sure this board is going to be sympathetic toward burdening the applicant with insurances, but you may get a sympathetic thought up here. Who knows? Let's see. The diesel generator, I just touched base on it. I think that's a quick fix. Is that, Mr. Shaw, Mr. Baker, is there a problem with the diesel being pointed away from
anyone. This is the backup diesel.
Right.
That only will be operating in an emergency situation.
Understood, but if it wakes you up at 6 in the morning, look, Paul, why not just turn the darn thing away from the nearest neighbor and baffle it?
We've had this issue before the board a number of other times, and the issue isn't... Nobody ever questions the fact that a generator's got to come on when there's a power outage and it's going to generate some noise for a period. That's not the issue. The issue is the exercise cycle. Typically, the genset has to exercise once a week for two hours or some periodic time. So what we've done in the past, we've asked that the applicant locate the genset in such a way that it's on the side of the building so it's buffered from the nearest neighbor, that the exhaust point away, that we get some assurances that they're going to buy an insulated diesel package, which they typically are.
Make that a condition of
conditions.
One condition.
Baffle it, turn it away, muffler.
Whatever you want.
Decibels on your dude.
And lastly, just that it be stated that what the hours of exercise are, that they not be in the middle of the night, that they be at some reasonable time.
Wake you up too, Dave.
Typically, they're done Saturday or Sunday mornings, not real early, something like that.
We can have a discussion about that, but that's where we're going with that, Mr. Romney. That generator.
I hope this project comes down to this.
Right.
This is the.
All right, we got to. No problem. We got to pull this together, Mr. Romsey. I'm not going. What? Well, 1 minute. 30 seconds.
Is 29 seconds. The question is it? And I'd like to get some kind of feedback. Is my suggestion?
You're not gonna get it. Go ahead.
Is my suggestion that since there are going to be at least three other generators in the subdivision, that the one that is in proximity to my home, why not consolidate that with one which is further from my home?
But you're in somebody else's house.
No,
not my backyard.
Nimby,
not my backyard.
All right,
we will look at that and see if there's a remote site. But I'm not open to stuck it next to someone else's.
Mark, let me just ask one question about that. I'm sure the applicant will have. I'm going to presume that there's a generator set for the filtration plant, and that possibly the other two that he's referring to would be for remote pump pits?
I don't know why they're with where they're at.
Because if there are remote pump pits, I know that DEP would require a backup generation. I guess what I would say is that you just need to spell out some detail on that, because they typically are very small. Might only be, several kW, the size of a, and we operate some of them in. You got to be right there to hear them.
The one at the plant,
I would anticipate, would be a bigger set.
Yeah. I'd like you to address that issue, all right?
Put
your comments in writing, Mr. Romsey. We read all your letters.
No problem.
Sure. Diligently, and we will read anyone you send. Okay, let's pull this together before we go on to the next time on the agenda. Well, I'm 70 years old. Hang on.
Where's Joe? Nothing more behind you.
No, look at that. Over 60.
All right. Mr. Shaw, Mr. Baker, Joe. We've had several issues come up here. Did you make prolific notes so they don't? I don't have to give you these in writing, or did you want, or any issues up potentially outstanding in writing to you? So that we can move on to this the next meeting?
I don't have, listening to the board and most of these things you resolved on your own, I have a couple of issues here, but one of which is the generator noise. The other one is the question of the setback of the wastewater treatment plant. That was unresolved, but I don't really recall there were other issues that the one that was discussed, but the board decided not to pursue it, was the issue of the speed limit with the
sight line,
and that was about it, as far as I could tell.
All right.
But I guess, I don't know what your plans are now, but we still got that part two.
Well, okay, I'll try to summarize here, if I may. Now, this was me personally. This was not the board. I personally had questions about the zero gravity lines there and that issue of terms of the flow of the system. Now, I didn't say it's a deal breaker. I said it's a question I had. The ownership of the tanks, which you kind of said that would be resolved at a later stage. I felt the setback of the wastewater treatment plant, less than 50 foot. I really feel that issue has got to be resolved because that can change your site plan and your subdivision Mylar. Additionally, I had a question on my personal question about whether these are open or closed sand filters, and I just wanted that question answered. And I like to get that issue resolved about backwashable multimedia filters, one way or another, that they disagreed on. And so those were some of the salient features and some of the questions that I would like to see just kind of cleared up before by the next meeting. I don't think you have a lot of heavy lifting to do there.
Yeah, I guess the question that I would ask is, of the questions that you have, Mr. Chairman, what, if any of them, really are, I mean, you know, these are very detailed areas of the development. Whether, you know, maybe the setback issue could theoretically affect the site plan, but the rest of them are very highly technical. And whether they would, the answer one way or the other, however you come down, is going to change the significance of the environmental impact of the project. In my opinion, I don't think it would.
Well, I'll tell you my logic and reason. I wonder, since we're not using the standard of the industry of other agencies for this, we're not using the DEP, DEC, DOH as the standard, and we got to set the standard. And for us to take a hard look under SEAKER, I personally feel we have to ask these questions and get answers to them. And though some of it may be minute in nature, I don't know, it could potentially trigger something a little bit bigger. And it appears right now it may not, but I just would like them answered before we make any kind of movement on a SEAKER declaration. But that's my personal opinion, and that's where I stand on this, Mr. Shaw. So I'd like to have you come back at next meeting to resolve this. However, this is a board, and it's a democratic process. If we have members of this board that wish to articulate, but let me advise you, if you make a motion for a negative declaration, you should articulate those reasons here tonight why you're making that motion. You just don't make a neg deck. You give the reasons. They should give the reasons why they're doing a neg deck.
Well, I
don't think anybody's prepared to do that.
No, but what you could do, if you wanted to, is that part two of the EAF,
which you guys filled out,
and totally a suggestion. But you could, you know, you've addressed, you know, for the last hour or so, you've already gone through a lot of this stuff, and all of you are already familiar enough with the project that you could probably answer those questions pretty readily on your own. And granted, you might not want to make your findings tonight, but you know, you might want to go through those. It's up to you.
I'd like to do that, start off the next meeting, just to touch bases on these issues we brought up and then start in on that. Do you you see that as workable?
Well, you know, obviously, we would like, we would have liked the decision tonight. We can't make the board do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing.
Well,
I understand.
I'm speaking for myself right now.
But here's the question. I talked about this last time, about the idea of a special meeting, so we can just kind of, no other business, we can get through this and bring it to a conclusion.
Mr. Shaw, you have prime cut tonight. Anybody that's here tonight is behind you.
I do appreciate that. But I know the board, you know, you folks.
We knew the depth of this
project, regular folks,
and attention it needed.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do that at the next meeting.
you know, listen, it's just a suggestion. That's all I can do.
Well, I'd like to continue the process into next day, into next meeting.
Okay.
Review these issues we brought up and focus right on secret. That's a negative or positive declaration.
Okay.
And come to a decision.
If we can't have a special one, then can I make a request?
Sure.
That we limit the timeline. Mary Ellen should give us any other comments, if any, at least 2 weeks prior to the meeting.
I agree.
That's a good point. I don't want to have what happened this meeting, and I know she's not here to defend herself, but
absolutely,
you can see from our emails, from the communications, that we were begging her to give us the comments so
all
we
right
would have the opportunity.
Let us discuss that. I think two weeks is unreasonable. The village tenants will have 10 days.
Yeah.
And 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this, that the sword's going to swing both ways. Mr. Shaw's comments then will be limited also to 10 days prior to the meeting if we require Delaware's comments. So we're going to make them both
okay
parties.
Yeah, but I'm going to be responding to her.
Right.
So here, this is what happened this meeting, and I just want to point it out. You have been, I think, unfairly burdened with a lot of paperwork that came
to
you
at
the last minute.
Let's put it this way. All comments 10 days in advance, all responses 5 days in advance. How's that?
That's fine. We've responded within 24 hours.
All right, all comments no less than 10 days, all responses no less than 5. We'll make, I'd like to make a motion we make that board policy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes. I'll tell you why.
I make a motion.
Our secretary, she didn't eat dinner tonight. She went
right
home,
she
changed, come back.
8 o'clock this
because
morning.
Of,
I agree.
I'm sorry, information Mr. Shaw had to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very bad.
And may I ask, she wasn't alone.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to make a motion that all responses and all applications be 10 days in advance.
Yeah, second.
And all applications be in 10 days in advance. And all responses be no less than 5 days.
Technical.
Yeah. The new precedent for everybody.
It's a policy,
yes.
Mostly,
policy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Second. We have a second discussion.
Do I get to vote on that one?
Yes, you do.
Well, actually, there are some sketch plans that are so simple, Mark, that people come to you 5 days in advance. They're lot line adjustments. They're so simple that they would have to.
I understand, but I accept nothing 7 days.
Yeah.
Anything before 7 days prior to this meeting, I accept no new applications.
Okay, so 7 days, and you say
county plan is 12 days, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't have it in
but
12 days, and
the motion on the floor is 10 and 5. That's the motion with a second, so that's what we got to act on before any new motions are entertained.
Okay.
Is that motion for this project or for every project?
Every project.
Okay, I just wanted.
Every.
Okay.
Discussion.
Ernie, good. Okay, any other comments? There are no recusals on this. All in favor? Objections, abstentions? Either none, motion carried.
All right, so just so I'm, now that you've adopted this policy.
We'll advise Mary Beth tomorrow.
If we get a comment from Mary Beth 8 days before the meeting, we don't have to respond to it.
Right.
Okay.
Mark, I want to follow up on just one comment. You mentioned that if anybody wanted to move for a neg deck at this meeting or at any meeting, that you can't just simply make that motion, that you've got to be able to, you've got to articulate your reasons. Well, in a project of this magnitude, you can't expect every board member to issue their own finding statement.
No.
That's a little excessive. I don't think that's going to be the process. I think the board as a whole, once we agree that we've gone through all the
but
issues.
But your neg deck should be based on your finding statement.
Absolutely. But individual board members making the motions cannot be held to that standard.
Mr. Shaw, what do you think?
I think what you're saying, Paul, is correct. Because of the magnitude of the project, you're not going to be able to, most people, maybe Obama would, but most other people wouldn't be able to sit there and articulate all of the criteria that lead them to arrive at a negative declaration. And what I've seen in the past, and actually what I've done in the past for town boards, is the board, what they'll do is they'll articulate their sense, each board member, you know, negative declaration, and then what we'll do is either the the attorney or the engineer or whoever for the board will draft a set of findings,
yes,
present the draft findings to the board. The board will then consider them, and, you know, depending on whether they tweak them or not, they'll then adopt those findings as being the support for their negative declaration.
Which is kind of what you were saying.
Yeah,
but I personally feel you should do your findings first, and then base your neg-dec on your findings. But that's, I see what you're saying. I understand your point.
But you have to kind of know where you're going. You know, I mean, you have to know where you're going.
Well, you can say this board, I mean, when we're ready, we can say this board, let's have our engineer or our attorney construct a finding statement, and we bring it back next meeting and do our neg deck based on the finding statements. But I see the point. It can,
yeah, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, really.
All right, gentlemen.
Thanks.
We're back at the next meeting. You know exactly what we got to do, right? Okay? If we have our comments, I'll probably follow them up in writing, Mr. Shaw.
Good, that would be good.
Yeah. And reply from Mr. Romney on the new SWEP. And we'll deal with, and then we'll move forward on that at the next meeting. Okay?
Sorry.
That's November. November 3rd.
It's election day.
Election day.
You're going to have a meeting. There will be a meeting.
I try to change it.
The polls are open all day. Or
not presidential.
No, I just want to make sure.
I usually hold it.
This is not a polling place either. So.
I've been holding it on election days.
Even with the presidential.
We did it with the presidential.
No,
just vote in the day. No, we changed that one. We changed the presidential.
That's typically the only one.
One more meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, you can't say that, Ryan. That might be a little premature. I don't know.
Why?
Make that statement.
I understand, but thank you for your time, anyway.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Mark?
Yes.
Oh, that's a pass out.
Mark, who's up next?
Board members, maybe they can work through it.
Sure.
And have it ready.
Mark, who's up next?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
If the board members.
Oh, yes. That'd be great. He's got to be here.
Mark,
thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
That would be a good.
That's how far two of the board members
are. You just made a good suggestion.
I can dance with your dumb business. Team hasn't worked yet.
Joe's in the mood to be like,
how's Hudson, Jason?
Hudson is good.
Any good coffee shops here on Warren Street?
Oh, yeah. I'm almost there.
You wouldn't know.
I like get coffee and many
stuff though. Yeah. I pick coffee.
I like the old Hudson.
Didn't I have soup?
I have one restaurant.
I stopped. I take coffee over there.
I remember Toads.
Hudson used to be a rough and tumble.
Oh, yes.
I didn't go there.
Now it's a bigger Chatham now. It's like,
yeah, it's all antiques.
Coffee, restaurants, so all different kinds of solar.
This thing, you just go one block back now. It's still, you know.
Well, yeah.
A little bit of character.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to
I still like that. That one building has like the serpentine and the kid, you know.
Jason, the litmus test for a hard look under seekers, the minutes of the meeting, if you got challenged with a 70, what is it, 78?
Mark, he's running over right now.
78.
Article 78.
Article 78. Yeah, the litmus test for your hard look under seeker is the minutes. The judge look at the minutes of the meeting. That's all they got, right?
Yeah, well, they look at the minutes and the submissions. I mean, the records are these challenges. The records are like this. They got everything. I'm not worried about that. This board.
I'm not worried about it. And we never been challenged, but I know a couple of people that have. Hello, Mr. Vannucci.
Hi.
Hey, Joe.
How are you doing?
No, it's very.
Baldly.
All right.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
There we go. Bye.
Next order of business. We have the two-lot minor subdivision, Vannucci Associates presenting under for the Petrolo minor subdivision. Joe, you want to come to the board and tell me where we're at with this?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll have we'll take comments and everything from the public this morning.
We have a three-lot subdivision with that culvert there that we put. We found that rock, the boulder, but it seems to be off her property.
That's one with the ashes on it?
Yeah. Well, it's at least the only rock. It's
on the McGreer's property?
Eric and Lisa.
One with the ashes?
It's the only boulder.
Get the boulder
in the area.
Mr. Basically. If you needed to exactly locate it, Bob Bridger.
Mm-hmm. We did exactly locate it with our instruments and everything. Well, no.
He had known it hadn't been marked at that time. He had told me.
Stevie knew where it was. Stevie knew where it was, and Eric was put there. Yeah.
All right, the issue, they're talking about a boulder. There's an issue of a boulder there. It was in one of the deeds. I don't know which deed it was in, but it had the ashes of a prior owner on it, and it could not be removed. Now, this survey does not cite that rock on the Petrolo property, but rather on the Aguirre property. Whose deed was that in?
That was.
So please don't move that.
Petrolo.
This is Petrolo.
Well, it's
covering
their ashes.
Did
Spielman ever own the McGreer property?
Yeah.
No, in the back.
So I think the ashes are there, but the rock's not quite.
It's Spielman, the only rock in that. Did
Spielman ever own the McGreer property?
No, okay.
So I don't think the rock is
that
in place.
That is really rude when you carry
your ashes on someone else's
mom and dad and somebody else's property.
What does it say anything about ashes in here?
It's the last paragraph of Schedule A.
The ashes of the Spielman's yacht buried in the south of the west corner of the above described property, more specifically over a 4-foot wide boulder, now located in the southern portion of the premise, shall not be removed and disturbed in person. Okay. So
well,
that issue notwithstanding, would you show Ms. McGreer where the road is on this? Very cool.
Who's going to stand in your shoes?
We're dealing with
thank
control.
You.
Okay. Just a second.
No.
I got Ms. McGreer coming up. She had an issue on the road, I think.
It's basically coming down right along you.
I think
she didn't notice that.
And there's a fellow that she called Bill, who was supposed to be a friend of this.
Bill Bucker.
Okay, and Bill came in, and he basically described what you guys had, what they had in mind. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with the subdivision, as I
purchasing that property anyway, and I would have done pretty much the same thing, except that I have a roof that I would not have had to put in.
Right.
So my question to him was, where are you putting the roof? Because I would not have had to do any of that. I wanted to just make sure that wherever the houses go, it's going to stay as private as it is now.
Yeah.
And what he said was he was going to run it right down here, which really would not afford that much privacy on the opposite side, where my houses are located.
Cal Vannucci's recused from these proceedings.
Thank you.
Because?
I've been all along.
Yeah, we were saying, like, if you wanted to see the buildings on here, you know, we could prepare, we could put the buildings on.
She apparently has a restaurant relationship somewhere.
But all of this is very wooded.
Right.
And in order to
pull
all that out,
in
order to put the road in, it's going to be a shot open. So what my thought was, not realizing that the garage that's there now is only a couple of feet away from the end of the property.
Yeah.
I thought there was a good space there. Like he's saying, no, that I just figured put the road on this side.
Right.
There is already a 3-foot high wall.
Ms. McGreary, you're asking to put it in your neighbor's backyard as opposed to yours. We don't usually accept that as a good argument up here.
What do you mean in my
neighbors?
You want to go to the other side of the property.
The house is
so
here,
close.
And there is a driveway here now. There is a driveway here now. I did not realize that the house was that close.
Right.
So this is what I have proposed to him.
It's going
to
be their problem.
And he said, okay, show it to you.
Well,
so if you left all of this, this is fairly thick hedges, I guess it is, in here. If you just put part of the road here and swing across, you could follow that brick wall.
Whose land is this?
I'm sorry?
Whose land is this?
Then what he thought would be a very good idea to follow the brick wall all the way down. So it would just be a curve in here.
Right.
And then the road would actually come out on the opposite side, which would afford these houses more privacy and my houses more privacy.
Yeah.
That was what he thought was a good idea.
Who's the applicant here?
The applicant is...
You spoke to a Mark Blucker?
Bill
Blucker. And what's his relationship to this land?
He said that he's a close friend of...
He's helping
Tatino,
him out, supposedly.
But he is not the owner. He's not the applicant.
No.
He's a friend. And he's not here tonight.
No. And he said, Joe would be here. Take it up with Joe.
Joe, what would you like to do, Joe?
You gotta take it back to the applicant.
Yeah, where's the water road?
No.
Well, that's what I was told this afternoon.
Okay.
I was just basically gonna come in and see, like, exactly what was wanted, and then we would.
Well, that's one issue. Let's take that as a privacy issue proposed by a neighbor, Ms. Riri, that she proposed. That approximately, we're going to say, how many feet is that, Joe? Roughly, from there to there?
From
196 feet? The driveway be on her side, and then swing the road over to the neighbor's side, and run the rest of it down his side.
Actually, he's not the owner, but what he had even suggested was, well, could they use this portion of my driveway as a right of way?
Here's the problem.
It's already got a common right.
Unless they agree to it, your argument for us doing that, it dumps it over on his neighbor. Then he's got clear land going on his side, as opposed to you on yours. However, I would agree with you that the road design is much more attractive with a curve in it, as opposed to a straight 1,000-foot road down. Your design is much more attractive. But we do not have the applicant here. Joe can speak for him. And Joe, do you think he'd be willing to do something like that?
Well, I mean, if Bill approached her, I do know he's very involved, even though he is not the applicant.
Yes.
But I just don't understand why he wouldn't have told someone that we would, so we could have prepared different maps.
So when you left him, what did he say? What was his parting words?
He said that he would talk to Tina and someone would get in touch with.
Okay, thank you. So
that was it.
Okay. So what we
we're back to the drawing board.
Yes, and we need a copy of that proposal for Mr. Venucci. Would need a copy of that at some point.
Mark,
yeah, sure.
Yes.
Let's bear in mind that would bring one other issue into play, which is that for that section of road that was on Ms. McGeary's property, which I think already probably has a road maintenance agreement for three lots, right?
That's not that.
Mr. Greer's has a road maintenance, yes.
This is not going. So your proposition is not putting anything onto your road. Certainly on their property.
Road.
What he asked was, would I give them?
That's Route 28.
It would be this road would go down and then bend that way.
Could you show us what call that
oh.
Right there?
Okay.
This is her property.
Okay. That's the I misunderstood that.
All right, thank you, Ms. McGeary. We'll check that under advisement and we'll deal with it in deliberations. All right.
Yeah.
You may sit
just
button.
In the same entrance.
I can make a copy of it if you want.
That's your map.
Well, okay, that's my question. But would it use the common existing entrance?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It would use the common, that proposal would use the common existing entrance.
No, that's what Bill said. My proposal would be the driveway.
Show him the picture of your proposal. Show him the picture. Show him the picture of your proposal.
Okay.
This is heavily wooded anyway.
Okay.
So we would still leave these edges up.
Okay.
And just put a driveway in here. Perfect. This land is all cleared out.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Is there a setback from this neighbor that you have to put in?
Do you notify me?
Yeah, that's all wooded, yep. I believe. Right.
And I think he said there is right here a 3 foot high stone wall. His suggestion was that would look nice right along
for building.
Yeah, that's fine. So, no, the only issue I thought you were proposing that the road start here, in which case these lots would have to participate in the road maintenance agreement, mm-hmm. you know, for those lots. So, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, thank you, and Mr. Barry, take a nap, and we'll let us deliberate on this. Some of the questions that come up on this proposed subdivision is this. I want to fill all this out in one big gobble, and then you can enumerate on it, board. Is that there's been no application to the village for a water hookup, and all water hookups right now currently are being denied out of the village. That doesn't mean that this will be denied, but right now the village is not giving water hookups to any town residents. That's number one. And this is predicated on a water hookup because there are no wells being shown. Number two. Must apply to Keith Griffin, town building inspector, town hunter, for DEP hookup. And I have to ask Sarah, I don't know where this information comes from, but if the lots are formed, DEP would want a transportation corporation form with this. Is that correct, Sarah?
That's correct.
Where'd you get that information, please?
Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. Well, that's for Mr. Griffin.
It is. They are no longer individually hooking into individual lots, they want a guarantee that a transportation corporation be formed within the subdivision.
If they go into one sewer line, but if there's three separate sewer lines in that road, then there's no transportation.
It depends on who owns the road that the sewer lines are in.
Okay,
what they're trying to do now, what I've run across, they don't want to maintain anything new.
That's it. Yep.
And the Transportation Corporation, as you know, they default on it and the town owns it. Same issue as we had in the previous application. The road width, how wide is the road, Joe?
20.
20-foot road. Okay.
And there is a turnaround.
And there's a turnaround. Mm-hmm. All right, the issue is they're offering a 20-foot road.
Over there. It's kind of to the side.
Are you recused from this? You cannot speak.
Well, no, because he was talking about.
Are you recused from
yes.
this? You cannot speak.
Thank you, my dear.
Sarah, get the tape.
How hard that is.
But that's the law. It's not me. It's just the three-lot subdivision. The road is 20-foot wide. The issue is it wide enough for a roadbed for cars to pass at any point?
A rescue squad trip.
And ditches for drainage. It's all downhill sloping. Ditches for drainage and shoulders if we want to put that in the deal. Subdivision roads should have a higher standard than a driveway. And we have a lot of flexibility there, just to let you know. It's not prescriptive in our law. We can make it 50. We can make it 40, 30, depending on the size of the subdivision. And we got to look at the topography involved. At that point, the location of the ashes, according to the surveyor, the folks were buried off the site on, apparently,
oh, she left.
Miss McGrew has a cemetery on her property and doesn't know it.
And you're going to put it
in. Now, are you recused from this?
No, I'm not recused from this.
Good. If I have in my deed that if ashes are spread on my land under a rock and they cannot be removed in my deed, and it ends up on my neighbor's property, is he bound by that restriction?
I'm really going to have to research that, Mark. I really have no idea.
I would get the bull version.
Okay.
I mean, I would say no, because a deed goes to your property. So if the bull's on your property, then I would say right. There's no restriction. So that would be, I'd have to look at case law.
We got to take the application face value.
That's a hard time.
I think I'm done.
We got to take the application face value. There's several issues we should discuss. But one of the issues is this. Is why I think we can move forward somewhat on this, but I'm concerned if they don't get DEP approval for a hookup and they don't get a water hookup, they're into wells and septics, and I am guessing that they do not have the setbacks to do it. That's my guess without seeing the measurements, and I might be wrong on that.
No, I
think I'm right, Joe?
No way.
Okay.
So we can't make determinations unless those approvals are met.
In this case, I mean, we can do it. We did our seeker. We can do that. And the seeker was based upon them getting water and sewage. That's why we neglected it. However, we didn't address the drainage, which we should do tonight. Because that road is a one-line shot straight down. And that drainage has got to be addressed. You know. So
we discussed that last time. Didn't we stormwater runoff for private roads / driveways? But non-commercial.
This is a subdivision road. It's going to need an RMA, road maintenance agreement.
The last time we discussed it went to one individual house.
You're discussing now a subdivision road, whole new ball game. This is a subdivision road subject to subdivision standards, town of Hunter subdivision law, and that's the standard it's got to be. This is not a driveway.
And drainage, I think they're going to have a problem with drainage on that property, but if the road either way, in the back of that property, it's actually a swamp, like constantly water.
Back which back?
Back of the you come down the back of the property.
Let's show.
Just out of curiosity, the last time was a two lots. This time it's three.
So you stretch this stretch, this whole section going along into here. It's all block.
What's
the
distance
right in there?
From point
that you go there, you sink. It's always wet, constantly wet along there. No matter what you do, you come down here. There's another septic runs along
that's
here.
That's where the sewer manhole is.
Along in this area, it's always wet over here. Springtime is always like
is right. Total.
Yeah, we hooked up. We did a job back then. We did septic systems. We put the homes in there and everything else. And that ground was like a wet bed, like a sponge.
All right.
I mean, it's up to them.
The thing is, so
that's good news.
The thing is, sewage and water. Hold on.
Still doing that right here.
The water drainage coming down the road is going to bog that thing even more.
Can't talk to me.
Mark, are they doing?
What is another problem over here? Because they hooked up. But two houses were original. The last two houses coming off that line. And they put it in. I don't know what the town's doing now. It's got a moratorium going on right now.
Is there a moratorium? Is it case by case with water hookup now or all flat?
The village has said they're not giving any hookups to town residents flat out. They're not doing.
Well, this is actually.
That's their decision. That's the Board of Water Commissioners. Village of Chancellor. They can do it. Nothing to do with DEP, DEC, DOH. Their decision.
The The water issue is less problematic than the sewer because you certainly could drill lots, drill wells. Right. You could drill three wells.
Sewage is a major.
The sewer's the real
deal
issue.
Breaker. That's the deal breaker.
And the question is, if you, you know, do you, is the requirement for Transportation Corp if it's a common lateral or do they have
common lateral into one?
Right. Is it mandatory that it be a common lateral, or can they have can they run individual laterals down the road, under the road, you know, about 6 feet below the road?
But it's like Holland said, who owns the road? They all have their well, it's a right of way over everybody's property.
Yes, meaning they'd all have access to repair their pipes. Mary Ellen, do you know the answer to that?
I'm sorry.
The question is it in order to get hookup when you have three lots like that that are in succession? It's been said that if there was one common lateral that serviced or one main that serviced the three properties, that it would require a Transportation Corp.
I believe that's so.
If there's three separate laterals, so to speak, that go from the house down the road to the main, then is that still the case, or is that allowed, or is that not allowed?
DEP prefers that each house have its own lateral. But if it would make more sense, lots of times they overlook that. But there's a similar project for Ed Nihils in the village of Tannersville. He's going to have three...
Six townhouses.
Yeah, he's going to... Yeah, well, one townhouse, one unit is three townhouses.
Right.
And so the person owns that property that the walls, you know, basically... make the property, the walls of the building. But as soon as the water or the sewer lines leave that building, it's going on common property. So even with each individual lateral coming out of each property, they still need, they would have needed.
But this is different. This is not common property. This is going to go across private property. Lot number one.
Yeah, there's no homeowners association here to speak.
It could be argued, though, if they're all maintaining the road. I don't know. I think they could argue that.
The survey is that they are given right-of-way over it. They don't own. They
own
the
land.
Well,
then they would need easements.
There's three owners.
Utility easements as well.
There's actually four owners of the road. One, two, three owners of the road.
They need to.
Now there's four. Four. That one on top.
Mm-hmm. They need utility easements.
The house.
Three total.
No, three. The house is one of the lots. The house is lot one.
Great. So it's three owners of the road. I stand corrected.
You need a road maintenance agreement and sewer easements.
Right.
We just had a real rough. Just saying it's a will be subjective.
Okay. Yeah, now let's discuss that for us. Let's finish that discussion. My gut feeling is that we don't give an approval until he can demonstrate he can get. Until he shows us plans for water and sewage. In other words, he gets approval from the village of Tannersville, or he shows us where he's going on the site where he's going to drill the well.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that he puts an application, they put an application to the DEP for the three hookups, and we see if the approval process is doable. If not, then come forth with a professional engineer design septic fields. Otherwise, no approval because of the density of the site, and because of the proposal of the site. He's proposing water and sewage, of which we know water he's not going to get. We know that before we even approve it.
So, if we get a letter from the village of Tannersville,
say they will give
saying
water.
They will not. Right. Then why do we even have to, excuse my French, waste our time continuing forward with this?
Because he may
drill
three
wells.
Drill three wells.
Okay.
You got sewer.
House number one already
one
has water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now it's
and a septic field.
It's got a water. House number one probably is already legal for whatever it's worth.
Right.
Okay, so
two and three is
old
issue.
Approval. Grandfather name.
But Paul, he hasn't demonstrated that he can get either. He had not even close.
Right, but you're right. But the issue is lots two and three, and I totally agree with you that if there's a moratorium on water hookups, then show us where the wells are going.
Yeah, that's a prerequisite of this. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah,
I mean.
Question is, will DEP entertain even giving you a hookup on a proposed map without
actually having the subdivision.
Well, we did his Norway, yeah.
How far away is the main?
We did secret.
Right down.
We neglected it. He's got a negative declaration.
Okay. He has to apply to Mr. Griffin.
It's a swampy land.
Yeah, he goes to Mr. Griffin.
Robin wouldn't give me a letter unless they submitted an application. I did call and ask.
So why don't we give the applicant his negative declaration under seeker, because
we
neg-decked it because we proposed that he's going to get municipal water and sewage, so there are no environmental impacts technically, and we can always change that and then see if he can get his water, come back with his water and sewage. It will sign off potentially.
So what we're looking for is subdivision approval contingent upon
municipal water and sewage at this point, because that's what they proposed.
Or I would say contingent on demonstrating the ability to get water.
To get sewage, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right?
Yeah.
That sounds...
So we'll prove it on that. He has a negative deck, and they can go put his applications in and show us the board. Huh? And the only reason why we're doing that is because of the intensity, the smallness of the lots, and the real problem. If it doesn't get sewage, it's a dead deal.
Yeah, no, it sounds totally reasonable to me.
It's over. It's getting a sewage.
So I'll move for subdivision approval, contingent on the applicant demonstrating that they have the ability to get water and sewage for the two lots that currently do not have water, for the two new lots that do not have water and sewage.
Correct.
Since one of the planning board members mentioned that there's a wet area back there.
Yeah.
You know, your subdivision regulations talk about it, and it's delineated before subdivision is approved. Might be a wetland.
Might be. It was most like I think that was just right behind the existing house. When I was down in here, I really didn't encounter any wet areas.
Paul has a, not a
your wetland is regulated through your code enforcement officer. You can't get a building permit for wetland unless they be...
No, but it's also in your subdivision regulations that the wetlands and water courses be delineated as subdivision. So if somebody notices...
Well, Joe, you did the survey, did you?
Yeah, no, I was just saying that I may be a little bit behind the house because there used to be an old pool there.
Or deep in the septic system.
As far as down in here, I haven't seen any
the
type
new wetland,
of
right?
Wet area.
Family system.
Back there.
Well, he spoke mostly over here to the left.
I'm just mentioning it because I know we asked Matt Morano to do it for a lot.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit different situation. Ted spoke over here. The surveyor said he didn't experience any. How do you make a determination of wetland again?
You have to have somebody that's a professional, not a surveyor.
But what grounds do we have to do that?
Your subdivision regulations.
We don't do that with every subdivision regs. Every subdivision reg, we have a wetland walkthrough?
No, I'm saying it's in your subdivision regulations that the wetlands, water
courses.
That's
not my question. My question is, why would we request it?
Because he mentioned that it was wet. That's
over
why.
Here.
I don't know where it was. It was wet. I wasn't looking at the map when he was talking. I just brought it up.
It grows blue flowers if it's a wetland.
There's one on the
boulder. That's right.
Okay.
And that's considered
that's
wetland.
That's because it's being fertilized by ants.
No, right. That's
what it's... Okay, I second Paul's motion.
Thank
right,
you.
Yeah.
Okay, one second.
I second.
Discussion.
What was the one?
The motion was for subdivision approval contingent upon the applicant demonstrating that they have the ability to provide water and sewage to the two new lots.
Okay, discussion. And that was seconded by Ernie. Discussion. Would the board see it in order if we had Joe, Mr. Lucci, walk back down there, and if he gets wet feet, to have the applicant do a wetland delineation? So how much did it cost to do that?
I was back. Mark, I've been back there numerous times also, and I'd never saw anything wet back there.
Sarah, with your high heels, if you made it in now there.
Yeah, right.
I call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Do we have a time frame on that? Curious. Okay.
On what?
On that contingency.
On how long that subdivision approval is good for. How long do they have to demonstrate
sewage and water?
The ability to get sewer water.
How long is the moratorium for?
No moratorium.
Well, there's no moratorium for the water. That's
just not giving water.
They're just not doing
flat
it.
Out.
Okay.
Well, so they should be able to get that answer quickly and have
quick answer
the surveyor
from DEP?
Put in that wells will need to be constructed and locate the wells on the property.
Sewer is the bigger issue than the water.
Sewer is certainly
the bigger
one.
Mary Ellen, the sewer is the bigger issue. They can drill wells. Your company is the bigger issue. 6 months.
Right, but I mean,
how much time?
We're still entitled to.
I wish it was my company.
6 months.
I don't know if you're anything statutory. No, I mean,
how long does it take to get a sewer approval hookup, Joe?
Sure.
Your?
No, we do it in our office now. We don't send it down to Grant anymore. Maybe 2 or 3. Get a decent engineer.
So I'll say that that's 4 months.
Okay, 4 months.
So
I'm going to revisit in 4 months.
We all three
emotions. Well, if they don't get it, then it's dies.
Well, it's a condition of approval that they have to demonstrate the ability to to
four,
either.
Four
we have to re-vote.
How long was?
All right, so whatever the sense of the board is.
Okay. I would like to give him 6 months.
6 months.
Okay.
6 months. All right, so months. That'll be another contingency on a motion then.
Okay, months. Then Paul, you want to make a resubmit that motion with
I'll,
those conditions?
I'll amend that motion
with the stated conditions.
For site plan approval based on the applicant
subdivision
approval based on the applicant being able to demonstrate the ability to have water for lots 2 and 3, either through wells or through village water, and that they demonstrate that they have the ability to hook up into the DEP system within 6 months.
Second, Ernie?
Yes, I'll second that.
Not that they hook up within 6 months, but they demonstrate that they have the right to.
Yes, the applicant word.
Okay.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Objections, extensions, be there none. Motion carried. Do you have a motion to close the meeting?
I have.
Yes.
You can't motion.
No, I don't want to help you close the meeting. I wanted to mention something else. Can I have privilege of the floor again?
Sure.
Or is it too late?
Go ahead.
You can cut me off this time or
no,
can I finish
2 minutes. 1 minute.
I don't know if I can fit it in 1 minute. I probably can't. If Keith Griffin is going to follow through on whatever, on enforcement, then I did want to mention another item. For a commercial site, you need site plan review, and Rory has mined topsoil there and is actively selling it to several contractors, the town of Hunter. CNC was over there today and got 3 or 4, you know, the big triaxles.
Do you have proof of the transfer of money?
Well, I don't know why else he would mine topsoil.
No,
here we go again. Now I know I can't prove it's a subdivision road, but why else would you mine topsoil and have somebody and
have
but I'm bringing it to your attention so you can tell Keith.
You know, that opens up a can of worms for this town. It's called selective enforcement, selective scrutiny, because I'm sure you can mention about at least 20 other people that have commercial entities on their property that get overlooked.
No, but this is across the street from me. And
across the street
if
from
it requires, if it requires site plan review, whether it's across the street from you or me, it should get it.
Well, then we should do that across the board for everybody who's in violation.
Mary Ellen's point.
I'm here for myself.
Point.
I'm not here for everybody in the town.
Point. She's not here for DEP. She's here for
herself.
Landowner, and she's with Ernest. She's complaining about an operation across the street. She's
the operation.
She's got the right to do that. A potential violation.
An assumed.
Right. If he's using it as a gravel bank.
Right. So, Ernie, the way we substantiate that is called. We put it to code enforcement, and he goes and straightens and gives us a report. But she's got a right to do that. She's a citizen.
Absolutely. I agree. But I'd like to see it done across
she's
the board.
That's not the issue here. She's just a landowner here. That's how she's talking. I mean, personally, that's how I feel.
Well, people have to bring it to the town board's attention in order
to
get any action on it.
Even when it's brought to code enforcement or the town board's attention, it seems to be ignored in certain circumstances.
I agree.
We know that.
And I have
I
a
agree.
big problem with that.
Is his house located on this lot?
There's
is
nothing.
A lot?
I believe it's just
no, it's
a treat lot.
Is it changing the lay of the land?
Well, the difference there is that if it was your private residence,
nothing can stop you.
You can do things that you can't do if it's not your private residence, so to speak. But and if you exceed 750 tons of removal a year, you have to have a mining permit.
A mining permit.
Right. And so code enforcement have to determine one. If the roads, and you can cut more than one road on your land without, as Judy pointed out, without a permit, you can cut a road on your land. But he has to determine whether this is an intent to subdivide. And then number two, he's got to look at the excavations that are taking place there and to see if it's of a commercial nature, in which case it triggers site plan review. In that case, he should come in front of us. So we'll put it in front of code enforcement and see what his findings are.
That's the way it will go then.
Okay.
Yes, I appreciate it. And just, Ernie, it's not my problem if Keith doesn't enforce everything that is brought before him. But, you know, I'm certainly going to follow up with this.
And everyone has the right to do so.
That's right.
And we had to get a mining permit just to move land from one private owned property to another, Ernie.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I will so move.
You cannot recuse from motions to adjourn.
No, but there's a form. I don't think I'm going to alter anything.
You're so smart. That's the attorney.
I just said we were going to sell that.
Judy, did you make the poll? Made that motion? Judy second?
No, you're not an open door. Susan and Dave Cooper are not here, so you're not an open door.
Seven. Take your job.
That's great.
Second by Julie, all in favor? Aye, aye, aye.
You're in the books. You're in the minute books.
I made it.